Tonight, I have the special privilege of introducing, for the first time as our speaker, Essential. Ryan is Central's pastoral intern. For those of you that don't know him, he hails from...
Where?
U.S.
I want to say Kalamazoo, but it's not.
Near Traverse City, Michigan. You can ask him about where that is sometime if you don't know. And Ryan has come up to Toronto out of the goodness of his heart and his love of the Lord. Down. Across. He's taking the journey to get to Toronto. Out of the goodness of his heart and his love of the Lord, to intern with us for a year at Central. He does a lot of the administrative stuff. If you email Central, 99.9% of the time, your response is going to come from Ryan. He makes things run on a Sunday. Like, seriously, Noelle and I could not be doing this without him. And as I said, he does it out of the goodness of his heart and his love of Jesus, because he doesn't get paid for this. It's an unpaid internship, where he is getting pushed and stretched and growing in all sorts of wonderful ways. And tonight's his first time to speak at Central. So be very, very welcoming and loving as I pass the mic over to Ryan.
Thanks, everybody. So, hello. I kind of feel like I should give a big introduction to myself, but Jordan just did, so that would be kind of pointless at this point. But yes, I do like to point out that I have to come further south from my home to come to Toronto. So because I'm American, people love to say, oh, you came up here, and I'm like, no, I came down here. Because, I don't know, I'm just this person who gets stuck on these specifics of things at times. But yeah, so Jordan asked me if I could speak tonight, and he asked me if I could speak on the topic of the parable of the sower. And so that's kind of what we're going to be getting into. When he first asked me about it, I wasn't really, to be honest, all that excited. But it was something that once I started digging into it, I started to see a lot of ways that it was really correlating with things happening in my life, and I was really excited about it. Which is where I'm at now. I'm very excited about it. But yeah, let's go ahead and start with some prayer. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this room. We thank you that you're already here, but we just ask that you would just increase your presence. And I pray that you would just be speaking through me, and that the words coming out of my mouth would just be words that would be out of your heart, and that it would just form a connection with the hearts of the people in here tonight. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, well, let's go ahead and read the parable of the sower. We're going to read it out of Luke 8. And we're going to read 5 through 8. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Luke 8. It says, a farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath, where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks, and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and the seed grew and produced a crop with it that was 100 times as much as it had been planted. And then if you skip ahead to verse 11, Jesus actually explains to his disciples what the parable means. And he said, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, and then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fall among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow to maturity. And the seeds that fell on the soil, the fertile soil, represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. So Jesus gives us four illustrations or four examples there. We have the seed that is stolen away by the enemy. We have the seed that fell onto shallow soil. And you have the seed that grew up with the thorns and was strangled. And then the last example is the seed that actually fell on fertile soil. And originally, I was going to have a fancy Prezi up here so I could illustrate how awesome all four points were and how the first three were all negative and they start with S, and you could clearly see that you have, I don't even remember what they are now, stolen and shallow and then strangled and then fertile, which is good. But instead of seeing it, you just have to listen to me explain it in an excited manner. I think it's good. So the seed that was stolen is the first thing we're going to look at. I think the best way that I can really dig into this whole thing with you guys is to just kind of give you examples from my life. And to just share bits and pieces of, well, really of me with you guys. And see if you can kind of draw the correlations out of it that I feel God has kind of given to me. When I was young, back in the early 90s, time when more and more people I'm meeting seem to be born, which is very strange to me. You're the same age as the internet. Woo! Oh, that's great. Back then, I grew up in a Christian family, went to church all the time, and it was good and it was fun. My grandfather on my mother's side was a missionary in Africa. And so I grew up hearing stories about what his life was like and just different things like that. And it was always something that kind of interested me, but it wasn't something that I really dug into a whole lot at that point because I was young and didn't really know what was going on. And I didn't really have any cares because that's what kids don't have. And at one point I was taken to a fundraiser concert sort of thing for the missionaries. It was a big thing, it was fancy, because back then my parents were really into Hosanna Maranatha music, which is even greater because it was 90s and it was already 15 years old by that point. But they took me to that. And they did a lot of singing, and kind of towards the end of the service, they kind of had, it wasn't really an altar call, but it was they made a call for people who felt called to missions to kind of stand up and receive a blessing and be prayed for and stuff like that. And I remember when the gentleman who gave the call gave it, even though I was just a kid, my heart kind of started to beat a little bit faster. And looking back on it now, I can just say it really resonated with my spirit. And I was this is something important. This is something that I should probably put my hand up for. I should take a step forward. And I sat there and I thought about it for a good amount of time, and I really just kept hesitating and hesitating. And in my mind, I started thinking, well, I've always heard stories of my grandpa, and I don't know if I really want to go to Africa. It might be okay, but I'm just a kid. I don't really care to go to Africa. And then at that point in time, after I hesitated for a while, suddenly this second voice popped in my head. It was just you don't want to go there, don't do it, because you don't need to do it. You can just stay home, you can be a good Christian boy, you don't need to go on missions. And it's at that point my mind went, yes, I will claim this as my own. And it was something where I, from that point on, all the way up into my mid and late 20s, through my mid to late 20s, it just became something where if a mission trip opportunity came up from my church or my youth group, I would just kind of go you guys could do that. That sounds good for you. And people would try to convince me, oh, Ryan, we're going to go to Haiti. We're going to spend a week there. We're going to build churches for poor people and feed them. And I'd be like, that's really cool. You guys should do that. And they'd be like, no, you need to come. And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to come. And it was because I really just clung on to that idea of I don't need to go, therefore if I do not want to go, I'm not going to go. And it really became something that it was well, for lack of a better term, it was an internal commitment or judgment that I vow. There we go. That's the word. An inner vow that I had clung to in my life. And this really, I think, it does not perfectly illustrate, but it does a very good job of illustrating what happens to the seed that falls on the footpath. When God speaks in His Word, in this one, it's pretty clear that He's talking about the idea of salvation. As He says, prevents them from believing and being saved. But I think it's also something that can apply to when God speaks to other things as well. So Matthew 13:19, changing which story we're reading it out of. In 13:19 it says, "The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts." And the devil is not a nice being. He's a liar, he's a thief, and he will do anything and everything to plant that seed of doubt or that seed of confusion. And like in my story, it was something where I wasn't really being outrightly like, no, I don't want this, but I was thinking about it, and in my hesitation is when the devil took that opportunity to be like, see, you don't quite get a record header on this or understand it, so I'm going to give you this. And he'll create those doubts like, is this really God speaking to me? Is this really something for me? Or is this even anything important at all? And sometimes he'll give you a lie to cling onto instead, like in my case. So yeah. And the second example, we have the seed that was shallow, or in shallow soil. So we're going to fast forward a few years from Ryan the child, however old that was, to Ryan the university student. Yeah. So Ryan went to university for 5 years. He also managed to switch majors about 3 times. He also switched universities about 3 times. So he had a productive 5 years of going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And when I first started university, which it's really weird to me that I'm calling it university, because in America we just call all universities college, no matter what. So I've been here for too long now. That's just a side note for all of you guys. Anyway, so I went to university for 5 years, and when I first went, if you were to ask me, hey, why are you going to university? I'd be like, well, I'm not in high school anymore. Is there anything else I need to say? I now realize that, yes, there is more things you need to say. But I started off and I was like, oh, you know, I really love computers. So I started off and I went and I got an information technologies major. I took 1 year of computer classes, and then it suddenly dawned on me that I really love to play with computers, but working on them is a completely different thing. It requires effort and understanding that even though I got it, I didn't want to deal with it, because anybody who works with computers, like my friend Matt Mitchell, who works in IT, among other friends, but he's sitting right here. Anyways, I'm sorry for confusing everybody. And by that I mean me, because I confused myself. No, okay, so I was in IT. Did not like that. Do not like IT. IT is not fun. I moved on to something that I really enjoyed, which is history. So I became a history major. I did that for a couple years. My school advisors were like, all right, these are sort of jobs you can get with a history degree. And I'm like, those are all involving lots of research and sitting around in libraries and stuff like that, or on the internet. And in theory, that sounds good, but that is not what I envisioned the rest of my life to entail. So let's take that history major and add a teaching certificate. Because I love people, and I love to pour into people, and that sounds like a great idea. So then I switched universities at that point to go to a university that's actually accredited in Ontario, oddly enough. And I went through teaching stuff, and then I had an opportunity after that year of school to actually substitute in a couple schools around my home area for a couple months. And I did that, and I realized very quickly that I do not have the stature nor the attitude to control a classroom of preteens or teens. And it was basically 2 months of me pulling the hair out of my head, just being like, I don't understand how to deal with these people. Why don't they listen to what I say? And so at that point, I was like, okay, teaching is not going to work. It's not a good idea. So I moved on to the final major that I work on, which is my family life education program. And it was an accelerated program, which I thought was really good for me. I was in my fifth year, and I'm like, I just want to get something done. This is family life education, it's stuff I'm interested in. It's kind of like a psychology, sociology, mixture degree. And it would lead into my master's in counseling degree, which is what I decided I wanted to get at that point. So I did this for about 6 months, and it reached the point where they had all these really major projects, and because everything was accelerated, there wasn't really any guidance to go with that acceleration either. And I ran out of money at that point in time. Ran out of money. And in reality, it was just the fact that I was really frustrated and I was not really willing to continue on. But I was also low on money, so that seemed like a good enough excuse for it. So this example in my life really lines up well with the idea of the seed that was shallow. I mean, going to uni is something where I probably did not seek God as well as I should have for what needs to go on. And it's not really directly like a God speaking to me thing, but it's a very good example of what happens when we take something, like an idea that sounds really good, but we don't go very deep with their choice. We don't really make that choice with any level of conviction. And in Matthew 13:20, Jesus explains that the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And kind of like in my story, every time I kind of ran into a little bit of problems, I was like, okay, no, I'm done with this. It's kind of the way we can be when God gives us a word for something. Like if God says to us, God says to me, Ryan, I want you to start taking things to poor people, like extra clothes that you have. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And I start going through my clothes and sorting things out. And then it takes a while because I have a lot of clothes and back for years. And then pretty soon I just have piles everywhere. And I'm just like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to deal with this. It's kind of the same idea. It could also be something as major as, I'm going to be a missionary to Africa, since we talked about that earlier. And going to Africa, realizing that you really don't like it, and then coming home and being like, I'm never going to do that again. And like, even more specifically, that can happen to us and when it comes to salvation. Like, I think we all have probably met people at some point in time who have like heard the word and been like, oh, Jesus is amazing, this makes so much sense. This is totally for me, I'm gonna jump in this. And then I jump in and you're like, wow, man, these people are really on fire for God. And then as soon as things come up in their life in trouble, they're just kind of like, well, I don't really feel the same way I felt, or this doesn't really seem to make as much sense to me as it did then. And that's really clearly, I guess, what Jesus is talking about in this case, it's basically a matter of choices based on convenience versus choices based on conviction. And when we make choices, we want to make choices because they are convictions that we hold deeply. Alright, number three. This is our third S. You guys remember what the third one was? Strangling. Okay, let's go through all three of them just because it's helpful to remember. You guys remember what the first one is? Stolen, the seed that was stolen. What's the second one? The seed that was shallow. And then the seed that was strangled. All right, that's number three. We're gonna start off by reading the scripture on this one. This time we're gonna flip all the way to Mark, because I like jumping around. Mark 4:18. And it says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. Yeah, this one is a bit, I suppose, some people would call it more personal. As far as the way it really got, well, God has been showing me a lot over the last few months in general, ties in with this a lot. Basically, I love people. I love people a lot. I love my friends. I love having deep relationships with people. And that is not a bad thing. I love God. I love Jesus. I love Holy Spirit. And I love to have a deep relationship with Him as well. And many, many years ago, I remember very distinctly my Holy Spirit saying to me, Jesus saying to me, like, I want to be intimate with you. And it was something that went into my heart. It was something that I really fostered and something I tried to grow. But it's also something that, even though I've had a desire for it, I've oftentimes turned to other things, like the desire for relationship with people, and the desire for deep friendships, which are not bad things, but they're things that I've allowed in my life to become on par, if not even more important to me, than developing that intimacy with God. And it's one of those difficult things for me, because it's very hard to be like, oh, I don't want to build relationships with people. Because that's not what the answer is. But the answer is saying, God, what you have put in me, this desire for a relationship with you, is the most important thing. And sometimes it's almost impossible for us to make that change in our heart ourselves. It's something where we can make the choice, like we're saying, Jesus, this is what I want my heart to be like. But I need you to come. I need you to make that change in me. And that's really a lot of the answer to everything that I've just gone over with you guys, is being able to make that choice to say, God, I want to understand what it is that you're speaking to me, and I don't want to let that get stolen away from me. And then make yourself available to that. But it's also God making that clear to you at the same time. It's a partnership thing. It's God speaking to us, and us being willing to be in that place, and making the choices that we can to get into that place, and letting Him take care of the rest. So on that note, we're going to move on to the fourth. You guys remember what the fourth one, fourth example is? The fertile soil. And this is how Jesus describes the fertile soil. The seeds that fell onto good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Over the last few months for me, this has really been, maybe not with these exact words, how I've imagined it, but this has really been something that God has been just turning over in me over and over again. I'll sit down with Him and I'll just be like, God, I want to be open to what you have. I want to be malleable is usually the way I think of it. And that's very much what Jesus is talking about in this good soil. He's saying, somebody who's honest, you can be honest about the fact that, you know what, maybe you don't always understand when God speaks to you. Maybe you don't always make choices out of deep conviction, or maybe it's just an easy choice. And maybe there are other things in your life that really are choking out the greater things of God. And then to be good-hearted, that's really where your choice kind of comes in. Like, what do you want to do? I want my heart to be good soil. And that's really what it comes down to. I'm just going to say a prayer. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just be speaking into our hearts and our minds right now. No, actually, I'm just going to ask those of you who want your own hearts to become like good soil, to be malleable, to hear the Word of God and to respond to it the way that, we can. If you guys want to stand up, that's just kind of as one of those choices to meet God. Holy Spirit, we invite you in here right now, into our hearts, into our minds. And we say that we make a choice that we want to be good soil. And whatever that means needs to change with us or in us, we give that part over to you. And we just ask that you would come and that we know that you're faithful and that you respond. And so we thank you that you are making that change in us even now. Yeah. I just feel like some of us really need to let go of things lies that have been spoken into us even at a younger age. And so the Holy Spirit brings a memory to mind. I'm just going to ask right now that you would just open that up to Him. And even if you just speak it aloud, just say, Jesus, I give this memory to you. It's going to be probably a little strange, but I really just hear God saying that somebody, He spoke a word and kind of put it in your heart to be a dancer. And it was something that at a very young age, either through like friends or parents or family members, just kind of downplaying it, you kind of gave that up and let it be so annoying. And He's speaking that again to you right now. And he wants to rekindle that dream in you. And he wants to, he just wants to give it to you. And if it's something that you want, he's gonna bring that back. Thank you, Father, for being such an amazing God. Thank you for sending us your Son here, who knows exactly what we need to hear and what we need in our lives. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who delivers it to us. We just bless what you're doing in this place right now. We just ask that even as we go out and as we leave, that you would be constantly speaking to us still. And just molding us into people who respond or patiently and produces good harvest for what you have. Jesus' name.